Today, we are discussing the concluding chapter of the narration of Vyasadeva's dissatisfaction, and in answer to that, the appearance of Narada and Narada's instructions on the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam that we have discussed in the last 2 days. After Narada describes the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam and how all the other descriptions are not serving the real purpose, but rather serving the reverse of it, that in the name of religion people will start doing the same materialistic activities and it will get a halo or it will get a spiritual touch. And he says the potency of devotional service and describes his own life, that how he was son of a maid servant, but just because he had the good fortune to associate with the Bhaktivedantas, pure devotees of the Lord, for four months, and only once he accepted with their permission the remnants. Prabhupada says, without permission also we can accept the remnants. Really, accepting remnants means taking a very humble position. Even taking the remnants, prasad, mahaprasad, is a very humbling experience. To an atheist, it's not imaginable that you eat remnants of someone. Eating mahaprasad is a humbling experience. And eating the remnants of devotees of the Lord is actually very purifying. What it actually means is really we become humble and we accept subordination and listen to them and accept their instructions. So he made best use of that association by humbling himself, accepting their remnants, that means taking a really humble position, and heard from them attentively. And therefore, he says that from a most insignificant and unqualified position of a servant, of a son of a maid servant, in that very lifetime, just because of pure devotional service, I achieved the eternal position of an associate of the Lord. He is giving his practical proof. What is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam or the associates and hearing about the Lord in the from proper sources. So hearing this, Vyasadeva has become a little inquisitive. And Vyasadeva inquired from Narada Muni about how he passed his life after the departure of the sages. In Islam, in the early days of publishing of Back to Godhead magazine, one of the favorite articles was How I Came to Krishna Consciousness. Everyone would love to read that. Immediately people would go to that. To listen to how devotees came to Krishna consciousness. Even generally people ask that, how did you become a devotee? It's a very interesting thing. So that inquisitiveness, of course this is a very special one, because he is not asking about how he came to Krishna consciousness. He says, what did you do after you came to Krishna consciousness? After you got initiated, after they left, they gave everything to you, they gave you the connection, they gave you the understanding, gave you how to perfect your life, and then they left. What did you do after that? So when we hear about the lives of the spiritual preceptors and the great advanced devotees, what they did when they got connection with their spiritual master, is very, very inspiring. And it's like a guidance for all of us, so that we can also follow in their footsteps. Mahajano yena garasu pantha. Especially it is very relevant here, because Narada Muni has told him that in one lifetime I perfected, just because I followed that. Therefore, to compile Srimad Bhagavatam, we need a practical experience of some devotees. And here is a devotee, the best devotee, who in one lifetime became eternal associate with God. So that question is asked. And Narada Muni describes that after his mother, after they left, he was the only son of a maidservant. He had no father. And one day at night, when the mother went out to milk cow early in the morning, almost in the darkness, she was bitten by a serpent and she died, left her body. Generally, a 5-year-old boy who is totally dependent on the affection of his only surviving parent or source of affection would be terribly disturbed. But because of that association, because of his understanding of transcendental knowledge, he was very grateful to the Lord. This is the vision of a devotee, that any circumstance in life, he sees it as a special mercy of the Lord and tries to see how best I can make best use of that mercy. So this was his only bondage which had kept him entangled, and now even that was cut by Krishna's grace. We find in Prabhupada's life, he was sincerely trying to serve in the best way possible in his ashram. But then one day when he heard that all his business was completely burned to ashes, yasyaham anugrahane harishe saddhanam sane, Prabhupada started smiling and remembering this verse. Now Krishna had given him a clear indication how to move. Satyam kampam sushanikshamano. That is the nature of a devotee. He sees, he always expects the mercy of the Lord, and in any way it comes, he sees it, how can I use it to the best of my advantage? So Narada, in his previous life as a son of a maidservant, utilized this opportunity, immediately left home, and he started walking. And it is described, there is a beautiful verse, where all he traveled. It says, Stitan janapadam satra pura grama vrajakaram kheta kharvata vakincha vanani upavanamicha. After my departure, I passed through many flourishing metropolises, towns, villages, animal farms, mines, agricultural lands, valleys, flower gardens, nursery gardens and natural forests. Prabhupada writes in the purport, Narada Muni is talking of the previous millennium, previous day of Brahma, previous Kalpa. He says, the same thing existed in the previous creation, the same thing exists in this creation, and the same thing will exist in the next creation also. So simply trying to do some archaeological survey to find out who did what and what was existing is simply waste of human energy. So Srimad Bhagavatam is collection of incidences and activities, historical events from millions and millions of years. Only what is relevant to achieve the ultimate perfection of life. Chronology is not given so importance. Substance is given importance. Otherwise, simply man increases the volumes of literature, same history, punah punah charvita charvanana. So that kind of history is useless. Only the names are different, but the same mentality of Lord is it over, how he was unceremoniously thrown out, somebody else came and same story. Only the names are different, places are different, countries may be different, but otherwise, so Bhagavatam is not interested in that. And we realize that the natural development of humanity will go like this, from Sat, Treta, Dwapar and Kali. Degradation, again restart. The history repeats itself. So Srimad Bhagavatam is only this. Another very interesting thing is Narada started in his previous life as a boy, 5-year-old, started alone walking through all this. Later he talks about, I went through mountains, I went through forests. We also walk through mountains today. Sometimes some of us who are alone, we can get an experience. Prabhupada writes in the purport that a mendicant should travel all over to experience variety of creation of God. Number two, to develop faith in God. And number three, to strengthen one's mind. And four, to disseminate this knowledge all over. The more you see God's creation, the more you realize how potent and how powerful is God. You learn so many things. Then, if you travel alone, you have to depend on God. Completely. Dependence on God increases. That is the life of a mendicant. And your mind becomes strengthened. Our determination becomes strong. And of course, the purpose is to enlighten others. That is the life of a sannyasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that. He traveled alone, just one servant, in the jungles of Jharkhand. And he was preaching not to human beings, to tigers, elephants, deers. But Prabhupada is very compassionate on us. He says, for us we don't have to do all of this traveling. We can sit in one holy place and chant the holy name of the Lord and absorb ourselves in the Vedic literature. Because in Kali Yuga, this kind of sannyas and this kind of traveling is practically impossible. But just a sample of it gives a lot of realization. Today, I was thinking, first of all, I have a chest of a 62-year-old man and the body of a 42-year-old, but the ego of a 22-year-old. It's a very humbling experience. When you see someone older than you passing away in front of you, or someone young person just, you know, looking back and pitifully saying, come on, come on, hurry go. Too disturbing to the ego. Actually realize in spiritual life also, this journey is like spiritual journey back home, back to Godhead. It's a very tough one. You don't know. You think that, oh, I almost come to an end, and suddenly another few kilometers opens up. Very discouraging. Very discouraging. You're all laughing because you can experience. All of you have thought about, I'm only speaking out. Very discouraging. But in that, if you have an association of even the worst devotee, no problem, whom he may not like otherwise. But at that time, any one person along with you gives you so much solace. There is someone with me. You know, I can always rest upon someone. And when you see in front, you get some inspiration. Yeah, if they can go, I can also make it. And when you look back, you get some solace also. That I'm also advancing. So, even this, you know, if you are introspective, then Krishna teaches to everything this kind of travels, many lessons. And it is quite humbling. We realize the ego is sometimes crushed, makes us very humble. So this kind of journey, when we undertake, in this journey back home, back to Godhead. Today was a sample of that. But if you deeply introspect on every aspect, it's very wonderful. And you can learn so many things. Only if you just cherish it and remember these things. So in this way, Narada traveled all over. And finally, he came, he was experienced. Another thing that Prabhupada writes in the purport, that Narada, in spite of the fact that he walked to metropolitan cities, mines, forests, etc., he never got distracted from his purpose. That was the power of his association of devotees. He knew what exactly, and he was never distracted for economic development, because he knew Vyavasayatmika Buddhir Ekeha Kuru Nandana. He progressed, never looking back, never getting distracted, just he progressed. So that is the life of a sincere devotee. After he comes in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord and takes initiation, this is how we must proceed further. Not getting distracted till he achieves the ultimate purpose of life. So then he went into a nirjana forest where there was no one, and underneath a huge banyan tree he sat down and he started meditating. But he was not meditating whimsically. He was meditating as per the instructions of the authorities. So every activity that we do in spiritual life must also be under the instructions of the authorities. So he started meditating. As Narada Muni meditated, the super soul first appeared to him and then quickly departed. Narada Muni was grief-stricken. Krishna immediately appeared to Narada, because he had taken so much trouble all the way and then sat following in the footsteps of what he had heard from the great souls. Because of that, Krishna was so merciful. Tears started rolling down this boy's cheeks, and hairs were standing on end, and he was developing bhava. And then he saw very soon the Lord manifesting on the lotus of his heart. And he was so much besides himself with in ecstasy that he forgot about himself, he forgot about God, everything. He was just oblivious to the facts, everything else. He was simply in ecstasy. And then after a few moments of this darshan, immediately the Lord disappeared. Then again he sat down. Same position, same meditation, same, everything was same. But this time nothing happened. What does this show? This proves the fact that bhakti is not a mechanical process, that you do this, 60 throughout so many years, and God should appear. You can't barge into the kingdom of God. It's not a mechanical process. The Lord is supremely independent. And when He finds it, He sees the sincerity and He decides on His own accord, He will appear. That's like, you can't ask the sun to rise now. The sun will rise only when time comes. It's accord. But what we can do is actually simply, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Ashri Seva Padaratam Vidashumam Adarshanam Marmahatam. In any situation, whatever happens, simply awaiting the mercy of the Lord in any way, in any form, at any time, in any circumstance, let it come. But I just go on performing my duty. And all of us have experienced, when we first came to Krishna consciousness, Krishna gave a free sample for encouragement. Clear proof. Clear intelligence. We understand. Something attracted us. Some were attracted by the kirtan. Some were attracted by a lecture. Some were attracted. First thing. And again they try to do that. They don't experience the same thing again. In the same activity. This means Krishna has given just an encouragement. And this time when Narada was sincerely trying, this child was trying, the Lord spoke to him. He could hear the Lord. One can't hear the Lord with one's material senses. But only when the Lord empowers us, we can see Him, we can touch Him, we can hear Him. It is His will, His choice. So, He spoke to him and He said, "My dear child, you will not see me for the rest of your life. But now, whatever you have heard, you follow and you get purified." That was of course, in Narada's case, he was a pure personality even then. But then still, to increase his hankering, the Lord keeps us like that. In that process of hankering, purification takes place. In bhava, there is love, and love and separation increases our hankering and increases our aspiration to get Him, and it intensifies our devotion. So in this way, he started practicing. And Prabhupada writes, in that practice one can slowly experience Krishna's presence. Because Krishna's service is non-different from Krishna. So when he was doing this on the order of the Lord, he was actually experiencing the presence of the Lord. So this is the process. Krishna may give one free sample. But we are not practicing devotional service to enjoy Krishna, but rather to please and satisfy Krishna. And in pleasing and satisfy Krishna through our service, in connection with a bona fide spiritual master, then Krishna will reveal to us in that service. What is the proof? In that service we find so much satisfaction that nothing else of this world satisfies us. We will not exchange that for anything else. Any other material, even if it is very opulent position or situation. This is the proof that Krishna is revealing to us in that service. The Lord spoke to Narada and His words dispelled Narada's grief. After recounting His meeting with the Super Soul, Narada tells Vyas how He spent the remainder of His life. Narada then describes His next birth as the great sage Narada. There is one particular purport that I would like to read, which shows what is a sincere devotee's life. O Vyasadev, this purport is very interesting. And Prabhupada's life, what is the life of a sincere devotee? How do we know a devotee is sincere? Thus I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation, ignoring all the other formalities of material world. Such chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are benefactory. So doing, I travelled all over the earth fully satisfied, humble and non-envious. He said, fully satisfied, humble and non-envious. This was the character which attracted the mercy of the Lord. Prabhupada writes in the purport, the life of a sincere devotee of the Lord is thus explained in a nutshell by Narada Muni, by his personal example. Such a devotee, after his initiation by the Lord or his bona fide representative, takes very seriously chanting the glories of the Lord and traveling all over the world so that others may also hear the glories of the Lord. Such devotees have no desire for material gain. They are conducted by one single desire, to go back to Godhead. This awaits them in due course on quitting the material body. Because they have the highest aim of life, going back to Godhead, they are never envious of anyone, nor are they proud of being eligible to go back to Godhead. Their only business is to chant and remember the holy name, fame, pastimes of the Lord and according to personal capacity to distribute the message for others' welfare without motive of material gain. It's an amazing purport. In a nutshell, Narada is giving what should be the life of a sincere devotee. A devotee, if we say that we love God, that love should manifest in four different ways. Otherwise, it is false to say that we love God. If you say, I love God, only you see God in the temple, and not if you don't know how to deal with devotees, how to behave with general people, then we are Kanishtha Adhikaris. We have no love, pure love. Because if you love the father and if you ignore his sons, then that's not love. That's not real love. So therefore, at least one should come to the platform of Madhyam Adhikari. And Madhyam Adhikari is described in the Bhagavatam as, if you love God, that means in relationship with the Lord, with the living entities, there should be three more kind of relations. Ishvare tad adhineshu balisheshu dushatsucha prema maitri kripa upeksha yah karoti sa madhyama. So at least we should come to this platform. What is that? There are four different relations. Ishvare, to the Supreme Lord. Tad adhineshu, to the devotees who are subordinate, who are sincerely serving the Lord. Balisheshu, innocent people in general, people in general. And dushatsu, those who blaspheme the Lord, who are hateful of the Lord. So there are four different kind of relationships that a devotee develops. Prema to the Lord, maitri along with devotees, kripa or mercy to the conditioned souls, and upeksha, carefully avoiding the association of non-devotees. If this is not there, that means we are not properly advancing. A devotee's heart is like a well, and that well is full of nectar. By the mercy of a spiritual master, through the process of initiation, he has given us the process of developing the pure love of God which is dormant. Now by the process of chanting and hearing, there is some nectar, Krishna Katha, Krishna Naam, Krishna Rupa, etc. So there is water, nectarian water in the heart of the devotee, which is like a well. And the outside world is thirsty. The whole world, their heart is empty, dry, because there is no devotion. So suppose you are in a village and in your well there is full of water and the whole village is drying up. Everyone is thirsty. And if you just lock up the well and say, that is your karma, suffer. That is not a devotee. Kripa. The first sign of a devotee, Vaishnava Paradukha Dukhi. He cannot see that I have so much fun. Fortunately I have got this benefit. And there are so many people who are suffering, whose whole heart is dry, whose existence is dry. How can I not distribute it? And therefore, the sign of a devotee is he kripa. He extends himself to give others Krishna consciousness. This is a sign of pure love for Krishna. If you love Krishna, if you love the father and see his son suffering, if your brother suffering, if you don't extend, that's very selfish, that's hard-heartedness. There is no love. Love means soft-heartedness. And therefore, paradukha dukhi, a devotee cannot but extend himself to serve in whatever way, to the best of his ability, as Prabhupada writes, to one's capacity. Try to do whatever possible. That is kripa, to the innocent. But then, once His Holiness Kadambakanand Swami Maharaj had come to our temple, and he was telling that in today's world, whole world is dry. And suppose there is one well, and if you say, Hare Krishna, sir, Hare Krishna, listen. And if you say, I am going to open the well, anyone can come and take it. So everyone will not only put their buckets, they may put a pipe and put a pump and start it full time on. And soon you may realize that there is no water in the well. You are dry. So he was mentioning, sometimes we are preaching, but in the process of preaching, we start feeling dryness in the heart. We are so much used to giving classes. We sit in the class and, you know, put to auto and lecture goes on and you are thinking, what am I speaking? Do I believe it in myself? It may happen. Sometimes we are preaching to people, but sometimes we don't believe what we are speaking. And sometimes there is dryness. Therefore, you should allow some time to refill, the well to refill. In our farm, what they do is, whole day they put the pump on to put water in the hole. And at night they release it to fill it up. Allow it to refill. If you don't have anything, what will you distribute? Therefore, there should be time enough to fill it up. And that filling time are these times. Maitri, in the association of sincere, equal, befriending kind of devotees, we chant the holy name, we take shelter of the Lord and exchange of our realizations, etc. So these times should be fully utilized to allow our heart to fill, so that when we go back we can distribute. That is why Maitri is very important with the devotees. And in the association, this process of sadhana, chanting and reading. Chanting is allowing the Lord to fill our heart with pure love. And that should be done as very exclusive activity. It should not be neglected. And equal association, as Govind Prabhu was also discussing the other day, we find with seniors, we have a particular relation, and with juniors, we have a particular relation. But equals are very, very important, where we can actually relate and really improve ourselves. So that Maitri, deep loving exchanges, Radhi Pratigrahanati Guhyam Akhyati Prachati, etc. This kind of loving relationships must be developed. That is the Madhyamadhikari. But then, where does it come from? One is Jivedaya. Jivedaya means to distribute. But for that you should have Name Ruchi. Name Ruchi means chanting and in Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, many times devotees say, I read, but at the end if you ask me, what did you read? Everything goes blank. Don't worry. When we are reading, we should take shelter of these words. A drowning man, how will take shelter of a rope? That way. This is the medicine I have to take. Bhavaushadha. This is the medicine I should take. Because I am diseased, this medicine I should take regularly. To fill my heart. Remove all nonsense and fill it with some nectar. So even if you don't understand anything, the mere fact that you are taking shelter, every sloka can speak to you. And every in pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, as we were discussing the other day, Krishna will reveal himself. So reading and chanting and sincere association for advancing is the Maitri part. But name ruchi, how does that name ruchi come? The Bhagavad describes that ruchi by serving the Vaishnavas. What is that word? This, no, this word ruchi. The Vasudeva katha ruchi. Syat mahat sevaya vipra punya tirtha nishevanath. What is the beginning of that word? Shushrusho. Shushrusho saddhadhanasya Vasudeva katha ruchi. Syan mahat sevaya vipra punya tirtha nishevanath. So Vasudeva katha ruchi, aname ruchi, and ruchi in Krishna conscious activities will develop when shushrusho, that means serving and hearing, shraddhadhanasya with faith. Whom? Syat mahat sevaya. Mahat sevaya. When we serve the great souls, advanced souls, then punya tirtha nishevana. Because they carry the Lord within their heart. When you serve them and hear from them, just like, suppose this well is nearby there is no water source. Then even if you allow time, there is no water to actually fill it the well. So the well should be always connected with another big water source. And what is that water source? Samsara dava nalalidha loka pranaya karunya ghana ghanatvam praptasya kalyana guna arnavasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. So these pure representatives of the Lord, they are like oceans. Because they have connection with this, the Lord who is an ocean of unending rasa. And because they are in touch, by remaining in touch with them, there will be constant supply of water. So, there should be supply continuously going on, retention, and also refilling. If all these three are not going on, that means Vaishnava Seva. So if you have to do Jiva Daya, you have to extend yourself, you have to have Name Ruchi, you have to have some taste. That means through sadhana and association. And that comes only if there is Vaishnava Seva. Service to pure devotees. Now the service to pure devotees, not everyone may get an opportunity to personally serve. Doesn't matter. Real serving means taking up a responsibility in the mission of the Lord. That is the purpose of a representative of the Lord. So to the extent we take that those responsibilities, to that extent that reciprocation, we are directly serving that devotee through Vani. There is Vapu Seva, there is Vani Seva. So in this way, when these three are going on, then we are actually properly advancing. But then, also it says, suppose that well water is contaminated with some poison, then there is no use in distributing also. Therefore, we have to protect that water, nectarine water, by seeing that we don't associate or upeksha. We have to carefully avoid the association of non-devotees. Materialistic people, impersonalists, mayavadis, etc. So, when these things are going on simultaneously, that's a sign of sincerity. A sincere person, after having got initiated, he wants to at least come to a level of madhyamadhikari, not remain kanishtha. And then, Krishna's mercy, he may elevate whenever he wants, however he wants. So this is the life of a sincere devotee. Then, after recounting his meeting with Super Soul, Narada tells Vyasa how he spent the remainder of his life. This is how he spent. And Narada then describes his next birth as the great sage Narada. In this way, fully absorbed in Krishna conscious activities, one day, he left his body. And how he died? He describes, like lightning is followed by illumination. Similarly, his material body he gave up and immediately received a spiritual body. Lightning and illumination are simultaneous. The sound you hear later, but lightning and illumination are immediate. He says, like that, I gave my gross body up and immediately received a spiritual body. Actually, a devotee, when he is fully, engaged in the service of the Lord, already spiritualized. An iron in contact with a fire is fiery, as good as fire. That is why a sannyasi's body is never cremated. It is put into samadhi, because it is spiritualized, because he's socially dead. And therefore, Tridandi. Tridandi means Karmana, Manasa, Vacha. He is using everything in Krishna's service. Therefore, it is a spiritual body. It cannot be burnt. Therefore, it is put into samadhi. That is the meaning. But of course, sannyasi, anyone who is actually fully engaged in Krishna's service, is spiritualized, actually. It's only a question of time. The moment he gives the material body, spiritual body is already there. Prabhupada gives another example of a dry coconut. The shell is separated, the pulp is separated from the shell. You know, if you shake it, you can hear the kurkur sound. But if it is a raw coconut, when you break it, the pulp is still sticking and you have to scrape out and still something remains. So when the soul is attached through false ego to the material bodily conception of life, then when it breaks, another body. But before giving up the gross body, if we disconnect it, if we finish off the subtle body, how? By engaging the mind, thinking, feeling, willing, acting, etc., purely in Krishna's service. Then the pulp is separated. And the moment the coconut is broken, the whole shell pulp comes out as it is. That's liberation. So in this way, Narada immediately got a spiritual body. And then, at the time of universal annihilation, when Mahavishnu breathes in, Brahma, along with his whole five material elements in the creation, started going in, Narada also went inside. And in the next millennium when he came out, he came as son of Narada, son of Brahma. He was Narada Muni. That is how he remembered his past life. Billions, 43 lakh into 1000 solar years. How can you remember? We don't even remember what we did yesterday at this particular time. What to speak of when we were 2-year-old, or when we were in the womb of our mother, and then what to speak of past life. But then Narada Muni remembers what happened last millennium. Because spiritual is eternal, and anything done in spiritual is eternal. That is the situation of Narada Muni. In this way, he got this situation. Then, after Vyasadeva hears of the transcendental activities that Narada Muni now continuously performs, what does Narada Muni do now? Because he has a transcendental body, he can travel to the spiritual world and all the three planetary systems of the material world anywhere, anytime he wants. He can go to Vaikuntha whenever he wants. He can come back and meet anyone he wants. Anyway, he has a spiritual body. He has no more a material body, which is not even access available to even great sages like the Kumaras, who are great philosophers and the fruitive workers or jnanis. That is the position of Narada Muni. He got simply in the association of Bhaktivedantas, utilizing that opportunity, hearing from that, and sincerely practicing it to the best of his ability in this lifetime. And then finally, Narada finishes his instruction to Vyasadeva, and Suta Goswami narrates the departure of Narada. Suta Goswami then describes Narada's glories. So, Narada here is telling that he is finally instructing, final instruction before he departs to Vyasadeva is, O Vyasadeva, you are freed from all sins. Thus I have explained my birth and activities for self-realization, as you asked. All this will be conducive for your personal satisfaction also. After saying that means he is telling the potency of pure devotional service. Now you have heard a practical experience and what I have told you theoretically. Now you expand this theme in the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is all pure devotional service, which gives you the ultimate perfection of life. And after this, Sutta Goswami says, thus addressing Vyasadeva, Srila Narad Muni took leave of him, and vibrating on his veena instrument, he left to wander at his free will. This veena was personally given by Krishna to Narad Muni. It is non-different from Krishna. When he plays this music from the veena, anyone who hears becomes Krishna conscious. Prabhupada writes in the purport, there are 7. Sa ri ga ma pa dha ni. And he says what this. And this 7 are actually transcendental sound vibration. They should be used only for glorification of the Lord. And therefore, that veena is not ordinary. It's actually as good as Krishna speaking. And because his Narada Muni is using that, it's simply glorification of the Lord. All glory and success to Srila Narada Muni, because he glorifies the activities of the personality of Godhead. And so doing, he himself takes pleasure and also enlivens all the distressed souls of the universe. So Prabhupada writes, Sri Narada Muni plays on his instrument to glorify the transcendental activities of the Lord and to give relief to all miserable living entities in the universe. No one is happy here within the universe, and what is felt as happiness is Maya's illusion. The illusory energy of the Lord is so strong that even the hog who lives on filthy stool feels happy. No one can be truly happy within the material world. Srila Narada Muni, in order to enlighten the miserable inhabitants, wanders everywhere. His mission is to get them back home, back to Godhead. That is the mission of the genuine devotees of the Lord, following in the footsteps of the great sage. So in this way, because of the sincere desire of Vyasadeva, Narada Muni appeared. In fact, Narada, Nara means Narayana, and Da means one who gives, Varada. Like that, Narada. Whoever Narada meets, it's only a question of time when Narayan, he gives Narayan to others. So if we follow his mission of distributing pure transcendental glories of the Lord, it will be beneficial for us and it will be beneficial for everyone. So after describing this, Vedvyasa sits down, meditates on the pastimes of the Lord, and then writes the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is nothing but Bhagavat means Bhagavan and the Bhakta and their loving relationships, their activities, their in that relationship. So in this way, this Bhagavatam was compiled. Hare Krishna. No. Prabhupada speaks about this in the Nectar of Instruction so many times. He is speaking as a matter of fact. Even that is only as much as necessary for others' benefit. It is not out of glory. The Lord has speaks. No one can be more humbler than the Lord. But he also speaks. Sarvadharman paritya maam ekam sarvaja aham sarvasrestam mattam sarvapravartate mammanabho madbhakto madhyaji maam namaskur. This is too much. How dare you speak like that? But he is just telling whatever is necessary for your benefit. He has to speak humbly. You see, I did this and I got benefit. You also do it. Nowhere is that false ego there. Because a spiritual master has to enlighten the disciples and he has to give examples. Of course, very hesitantly he speaks about himself. He doesn't take much pleasure. So he does whatever is necessary. So his speaking about himself is different from what we speak about, what generally people speak about themselves. adulation, glories. It is so pleasing to them. And criticisms are very, what is the proof? The proof is when the devotee is, Vyasdev is criticized and he is writing himself that I was chastised like this. Prabhupada also, I was a fool, I went, I did not take up my spiritual master's mission. I was such a fool that I had to wait and forcibly my spiritual master had to drag me out of family life. He says that also. He is not speaking only of the good qualities. He is speaking himself. I was such a fool. I did not realize. I should have taken it up long back. And I was attached to Gandhi and my spiritual master defeated me, made me look like a fool, and I was so happy to feel. So not that he only is glorious, but every aspect of it, he brings it black and white. Otherwise, we only speak our glories and other things, you know, skeleton in the cupboard. And the last thing we want to hear is someone speaking about, this fellow was like this before. No, you know, you should not ask about Rishi Mula. So whatever they do, even when they criticize materialistic people, they do it with a great restraint. Just whatever is essential. Because they have to teach to their disciples through practical examples. So when Sukadeva Goswami speaks, Nidraya Hriyate Nattam Vyavayechana Vavayaha Divacharthe Haya Rajan Kutumba Bharaneva. He's speaking so strong words with a great heavy heart. Because if he does not enlighten his disciples, then what is the point? Prabhupada also spoke about certain people, like for example, don't try to imitate Rupa Goswami. He would give who was a lawyer. C.R. Das, Chittaranjan Das. So this C.R. Das, he would say, he was a very charitable person. So he was working for the British as a lawyer. And Gandhi asked them, so he wanted to give Gandhi all his money that he earned through a lawyer. So Gandhi said, I don't want your money, you join me. You leave the British and join me. And he joined the British. And the government used to pay him, the Congress used to pay him 500 rupees. He was getting 60,000 a month. His father had many debts. He cleared the debts. Very charitable. Anyone who asked, he would give money. So his propensity was like that. And when he joined Congress, he was giving only 500 rupees. It was a big sum though. And whoever asked, he would give. He had practically no money. And he died within a short time. So Prabhupada would give an example. You can't imitate Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. That they would eat, you know, little buttermilk or something once in a way. Anyone else who is not on that platform will die. To show that, he would quote an example here and there. So Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Instruction that the Mahabhagavats or the Uttam Adhikaris can go and preach, but the Kanishka Adhikaris sometimes pull them down. And then he says, we are also experiencing this in our preaching. He is not saying I am the Mahabhagavat, but he is saying we are also experiencing this. Our neophyte God brothers are trying to, you know, find fault and criticize us. They don't see that so much of wonderful preaching is going on. I was told, Brahmananda Swami, at that time, he came after initiation. He offered obeisances to one of Prabhupada's God brothers. So he asked him, what is your name? Brahmananda. It's not a Vaishnava name. And by the way, your danda is too thick. So Prabhupada said, you see, they don't see, the moon is shining like this, but they see that black spot on the moon. The moon is enlightening the whole world. They don't see that. That these Mleshas, Yavanas, they have given up everything, taken sannyas and come. They call, you know, Brahmananda, it's not a good name. Danda is too thick. They try to bring us down to their level. So sometimes he mentions, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's doing it just to show, very rarely. Is that clear? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Gopinanandi.